Welcome back to the Tyree Show here on ESPN 680 105.7. My name is Jim Tyree. Glad to be with you this evening. It's our first hour dedicated to the Kentucky Derby 2015, the 141st running of that race. And the post positions were drawn just about an hour and a half or so ago. Of course, we had that for you live here on ESPN 680 105.7 from Churchill Downs. Thanks to the Horse Racing Radio Network. And the morning line odds have been released as well. Mike Battaglia giving those out as a part of that Horse Racing Radio Network programming. Joining me now is, we're going to continue our horse racing conversation here. So if you have a question, you have a particular horse you want to ask about, you have a particular scenario you want to ask about, if you just want to ask these guys, hey, who do I bet? I'm sure they'll give you an opinion on who you go in and throw, plunk down $20 of your hard-earned money, and you might have a good chance at picking something up. Now, you're not going to be able to hold them legally responsible if you don't win anything. But, hey, I'm sure they would want me to throw out that that caveat there on introducing them. But joining me now on the Tyree Show, first up is Hal Wafer, the owner and founder of RogueHandicapper.com. Hal, how are you?
Hey, good, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking a few minutes out tonight. We appreciate it. Also joining us is Jeremy Plunk, the owner and founder at HorsePlayersNow.com. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking time out, fellas. We do appreciate it. Hal, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the draw, and if any of your thinking changed, the thinking you had before the post positions were drawn and then afterwards, including American Pharoah, the favorite, getting an outside post position, does it change anything for you?
Yeah, it changes a little bit for me personally. I think he's a very good horse. Obviously, he's proven himself up to this point. But I think, you know, the Derby is a wide-open event. There's a lot of traffic trouble. It's a, you know, a hard thing to navigate for the jockeys and horse. So taking that into consideration, I had him as on top, but I actually moved him down to third. And the other horse I liked a lot for a key is Frosted, and I was very happy with his post, so I have no problem with that, and I just moved him from second to first. The way I approach it is I like to play exacta trifectas, especially trifectas in the Kentucky Derby, and I like the key Dortman. I moved him up to second. So the 15 and the 8 Frosted Dortman would be my trifecta keys that I would play 1, 2, 3, wrapped around about 5, 6 other horses. That's how I like to approach it. I did that 3 years ago, and I had Nero that came second. There was a key with Animal Kingdom, and I hit a $4,000 try doing it and invested a little over $100.
Well, you guys had to be – we'll get to this in a second. You guys had to be happy with some of these numbers that Mike Battaglia was popping up there as far as odds go on some of these horses. I'll get Jeremy involved here. Jeremy, was any of your thinking changed when you saw some of these positions fall down?
Well, I don't think it was a good day for Todd Fletcher's horses, Carpe Diem and Materiality. In post 2 and 3, there were horses who wanted to be kind of near the front but not necessarily have to use a lot of energy to get there. And now from the inside to hold their position, they're going to have to run harder in the first part of the race than probably both wanted to on paper. So I think that was a rough draw for those two. For American Pharoah out in the 18 hole, I don't think that's a great post. It's tough to win out there. You have to be much the best. You have to be, a big brown. I'll have another. There have been some horses to do it from out that far. But for a horse who hasn't been challenged in his two races this year, that's quite a challenge thrown at him from the 18 post. So, moving him down a slot or two is probably pretty prudent.
Yeah. There couldn't have been, other than the one position, Jeremy, there couldn't have been a worse post position for Carpe Diem at 2.
No, I agree 100%. And the other thing, too, is not only is he down in the 2, but the horse is inside of him, named Ocho, 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 is another horse who has to go to the front. So there's going to be a scrum between the 1, 2, 3 positions to try to get out of there. If the horse on the very inside was the slow breaker, typically that might be a situation where you say, well, okay, he can outbreak that horse and kind of secure the post. But it's going to be very difficult for him, and he's not a very good horse loading into the starting gate or standing in the gate. So he'll be the second horse to load, and if we have a long loading process, it might take as long as 2, 2.5 minutes to load the field some years. He may be standing flat-footed in the gate. really almost a deal breaker for me with Carpe Diem. I'd like the horse off his win at Keeneland, but out of that post position, you know, I thought maybe picking him third, fourth in the race going in with that two post, I've almost certain that I'm going to throw him off my tickets now.
So you know, it's funny. It's a great point. A lot of times, just the average casual guy that's going to be interested in horse racing only on Derby Day, they don't think about, and Hal, I'll get your thoughts here, they don't think about that weight that Jeremy was talking about, that weight that a horse, especially one that is itching to go, raring to go, a speed horse, one that has to get out front very early. It does take a long time to get 20 horses into a starting gate.
Oh, yeah, even if you hit it on a normal circumstance. And remember, these are three-year-olds. They're like, you know, we're trying to judge Michael Jordan at, you know, age 14 here with, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-olds. And so there's a lot of things that can happen. You know, they're very fictitious. They're young animals, you know, learning the game as they go along. Some are more well-dispositioned than others. And, you know, Jeremy's point's well taken with Carpe Diem and those kind of horses. They're going to have to be used up more in the early going, and it just hampers them. An already, you know, wide-open event with a lot of, you know, potential traffic trouble. Totally agree.
Hal Lafer with RogueHandicapper.com is with us. Also, Jeremy Plonk with the HorseRacingNow.com has joined us. We're going to get a phone call in here. Tim would like to ask the guys about exotics. Go ahead, Tim.
Yes, I was your previous guest earlier. Did he say that on the Derby, the minimum for a superfecta is a dollar? You can box a, you know, a dollar box on a super. As the tries, you can box 50-cent trifectas.
I think that's right. I'll refer to my guests here. Tim, thanks for the call. But you can do 50-cent tries and dollar supers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. The 10-cent superfectas they have on normal days are not allowed for Derby Day. But 50 cents on the trifectas and a dollar minimum on the superfecta. So the superfecta gets expensive pretty quick, but the trifecta with the 50-cent minimum is a great way to approach it.
And Hal, do you recommend that you go ahead and do the $2 bet on a try when you box it, or do you go with that lower amount of money? You're going to win less, but it's not going to cost you as much.
Right. I think in this situation, it's perfectly fine to go with a $1 bet with a lot of horses, a lot of prices, a lot of things can happen in the race. So, you know, even you got inflated pools and everything, and especially in the exotics, be the, you know, the exact, the trifecta, superfecta. So for doing that in a trifecta, that's perfectly fine. And, you know, you can invest, you know, you got your smaller wagers, you know, say under $100 people are going to wager, which is fine. And you get to spread out a little bit more, which helps. And you have a great chance for a pop and a nice price for, you know, putting in a little to win a lot.
Our guest,
one tip for your fans, if I can, Jim.
Yes,
always
please.
Bet the lowest amount they offer on those, because there's a situation that happens every single day where you can avoid paying taxes on hitting a big score a lot of times if you have the 50-cent payoff versus the $1 or $2 payoff. So even if you want to spend $2 on the trifecta, buy it for 50 cents and then ask them to repeat it three times and get it four times. It can save you a lot of money with the Uncle Sam and the taxes sometimes with the way the payoffs come back.
There you go.
Right, yeah, of course. Depending on the prices you're using, yeah, of course, I agree with that.
There you go. That's why you guys don't come to me for this type of advice. That's why we have the guys on that we have on. Hal Wafer with RogueHandicapper.com, Jeremy Plonk with HorsePlayerNow.com. If you'd like to get a question in, you can do so at 267-9680. The odds, and Hal, I'll go back to you, the odds that were posted by Mike Battaglia early on here, where do you think the biggest value is right now on this board? Of those numbers, you know, there's a lot of talent in this race, probably the most talent we've seen in a long time in this Derby run. And where's the value come here? Where's the bet that is going to get you the most?
I really like the Frosted Horse with Joe Rosario. I believe I'm big into form cycles. I think you haven't seen the best from this horse. He won his last race at Aqueduct very nicely in the wood. He wasn't used up. And to me, this horse is still moving up in his form cycle. He'll get in on his pace to run into at the end. So I think it sets up very well for him. And Joe Rosario is a good journeyman that should give you a good trip. So getting in the mix, you know, 1, 2, 3, I see that horse doing it personally.
All right, Jeremy, your thoughts?
For long shots, I think Dancing Moon's a horse who probably can't win the race but could be second or third, and he's 30-1 in the morning line. Keen Heist is a horse who's 50-1. He's too slow to win the race. I mean, he would need everybody to almost just stop in the stretch. But he's going to pass a lot of the tired horses, and you could see him potentially running third or fourth on the bottom of that trifecta or superfecta at 50-1. So Dan McNoon and Keen Heist, I think, are two value horses. Neither one, I think, are good enough to win the race, but we've seen a lot of subpar or just kind of horses who have a good day in the Derby finish 2, 3, 4 underneath a logical horse, and those are two that might be in that mold.
A guy that's gotten a lot of play, especially in this area, over the last couple of years because of some success that he had a couple of years ago, is Calvin Burrell. He is in the 7 gate with El Kabir. 30-1, the early line from Mike Battaglia. Jeremy, I'll start with you here. Is there any reason to think that Calvin Burrell could have one of those magical rides again on this horse that maybe a lot of people didn't know about coming into the week?
I don't see it with this one, but I didn't see it with Mind That Bird either. So, you know, Calvin's got, you know, that Churchill mystique about him. I'm just not a fan of El Kabir. I've kind of thought he was a horse who was raced pretty hard at 2 and through the winter at Aqueduct in New York against lesser competition. And he seems to me like a horse they never thought would kind of be a Derby horse. They ran him a lot, you know, earlier in the year in some races where they weren't saving up for Derby Day, I don't think. So I would be surprised if El Kabir's in there. But knowing Calvin Burrell, nothing is impossible.
Hal, I'm going to move over to you for this other horse that a lot of people didn't know about coming into the week. And you get these situations when you have horses that come from Dubai. But Mubtahij is a horse that I think might get a lot of play on Derby Day just because there is some mystique there. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's there's a lot of unknown factors with the horse other than, you know, he won last time out nicely and everything. So it's really, you know, it's kind of a wild card you're getting. You know, it's case in a scenario where if I was outlaying a couple extra horses, I may throw them in as a fly, you know, a big flyer or something. But it's hard to kind of get a gauge. But a lot of times these horses shipping in like that, you know, they're living, breathing animals. It has an effect on them. And, you know, it's real iffy.
Let's go to the phone lines here on ESPN 680 105.7. Chris, you're on with Hal Wafer and Jeremy Plunk. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
All right, so you guys were talking about Mubtahij, man. I think he does have a shot, you know, to kind of invade the superfecta there. And I kind of wanted to echo what another caller said about not being afraid to play that 50-cent trial wheel. You know, if you can pick you one horse, you want a key, you know, maybe spend $17 each way, you know, you could cover all your bases, you know, for $50 and have the possibility of winning a little bit of money. And another bet that I like as well is a hefty show bet on Derby Day because show payouts are always great.
All right, I'll start. Hal, I'll start with you, and then we'll get Jeremy's thoughts on that. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, you're just echoing what I said before where, you know, you can key these horses. You got a nice one, like I personally like Frosted, but like you, like that horse, nothing wrong, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the try, and you take a handful of other horses you like around him. As long as he gets on the board, you got a margin of error with the other ones to hit something nice, and there's nothing, I have no problem with that at all, that type of strategy. I use it myself.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
Well, you know, you came out with two distinctly different bets. A trifecta is a high-risk bet, and a show bet is one of the more conservative. And I always tell people when we do our fan education seminars online and at racetracks to bet to your personality. What's going to make you happy, you know? If betting 20 and winning 30 makes you happy and you have a lower risk, then that show bet's a good one for you. If the only thing that's going to make you happy is trying to win a new big-screen TV today, you're not going to get that through the show pool. So a bet like the trifecta can help you. So, you know, what are you trying to accomplish, you know, and what are you trying to win? Know that going into it. And there's a bet for everybody in horse racing. That's the great thing about it. And they all start at 50 cents, a dollar, $2. And it's just a matter of how much risk you want to attach to it.
Chris, thanks for the phone call. Do appreciate it. Guys, I will start wrapping this segment up here. I do want to get final thoughts from you, though. Hal, we'll start with you. I know they can go to your website at roguehandicapper.com. But tell me just kind of a maybe something you haven't shared with those that have been on your website yet, maybe something that's just kind of been tickling around in the back of your mind that, hey, this might be something that I might pass along before Derby Day.
Well, coming up, I'm having my own Rogue Ratings computer program come out, and it's for all types of players, new, average, experienced, or sophisticated. And I'll have it up and working in about a month. And if anybody wants, for Derby Day, I'll have it. I can give them the whole card for free. I'll email it to them, and they can contact me at hw@roguehandicapper.com. It's a great player development tool, and it's very unique and innovative on my part. I developed it. And it deals a lot with velocity, form cycle, and energy distribution angles that aren't readily apparent in the past performances, and it crunches it down quickly and simply for new fans or experienced, sophisticated handicappers.
There you go. All right, Hal. And Jeremy, the website is horseplayernow.com. Tell me something that you might be sharing soon.
Well, we'll have our buzz report coming out on Thursday for both Oaks and Derby Day. We've got 7-8 national respected handicappers from different circuits around the country. We all come together in the buzz report and put out our information there, and we'll have all the Derby and Oaks stuff lined up there. I'll let you know, there's a filly in the Oaks named Money's on Charlotte. She's 50-1 in the morning line, and I really like the way she's trained over the past week, and could be a long shot to use on Oaks Day underneath there at a really big price. So that's something not many folks are thinking about right now, but she'll be on my mind come Friday at a big price.
Hey, Jeremy, I appreciate you mentioning Oaks. I totally left that out here, and I do appreciate you bringing that up. Thanks, guys. The websites are roguehandicapper.com. That's Hal Wafer joining us here tonight. And horseplayernow.com is Jeremy Plunk. These guys, they've got a lot of great information for you. Go to the websites, find out about it as the draw was released this afternoon. Again, appreciate your time, fellas.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I highly appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Jeremy.
Take care. Happy Derby.